Welcome to You Hate Movies, the podcast in which casual moviegoers, film lovers, and cinephiles argue about movies. Today we finally arrive at Paul Feig's 2016 reboot of the supernatural comedy classic Ghostbusters. So can a fantastic director and perfect casting breathe new life into the beloved franchise, or did all that talent go to waste? Along the way, we'll get spoilers for all the Ghostbusters films, as well as Avatar and Bridesmaids. I could not bring myself to put that godforsaken cover of the Ghostbusters theme at the beginning of this episode.
I'm okay with that.
I couldn't do it.
I liked it. Why?
Do you even know what you were listening to?
Playing in a call. Ghostbusters. <Yeah.
laughs> That's close. That's
was
close.
Was it the rap version? Because I liked the rap version.
At the end with Hemsworth dancing?
Oh, man. You know, I so loved bad. That. That was so good.
Okay, we're already getting so ahead of ourselves.
Help me understand. I want to be sure that I heard this correctly. They took the original Ghostbusters theme song and they said, "Hey, Fallout Boy, are you still a thing?"
They talk to Fallout Boy like it's an entity that speaks for itself.
Hey, Missy Elliott, are you busy? We've got these white boys over here that want to make a record for us.
Wait, was Missy and Fallout Boy together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I know the song? Did I hear it when I was
they
in the theater?
They did the updated version of the Ghostbusters theme.
We're Fallout Boy.
That's what they said?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. But still, I liked it, I think.
It was really bad.
On our road to Ghostbusters 2016, the Paul Feig version of Ghostbusters, we began the other episodes with the respective Ray Parker versions. Because there's a different, slightly different version for Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
And you just were treated to the original 1984 version again, because I cannot put that Fallout Boy atrocity at the beginning of this episode. It's just awful.
They released the song before the movie came out, and there's people listening to it, you know, on the internet. Wherever they found it on the internet, they were listening to it. And I said, no, I'll experience it during the movie. And when it came on in the movie, I kind of slumped down in my chair real low.
Me too. Thought, it was a low point.
No.
It was a low point.
I was hooked. I don't know what you're talking about.
So
Bethany was into it.
I was jazzed about the whole thing.
First of all, we're here. We've seen the update of Ghostbusters.
I'm here.
Tyler's here.
Tyler's here.
Bethany Allen's here.
Hello.
And I'm Josh. The rest of these guys haven't made it to the theater to enjoy Paul Feig.
You know, so they're slacking
big
time.
But Josh and I have seen the original too.
Yeah.
A few times. We watched them again recently to do these podcast episodes. But apparently, Bethany.
Bad news, guys.
You have not seen either of the originals?
Okay, I've probably seen like glimpses of them like here and there, but certainly haven't seen a full viewing of any of those. In fact, I was trying to get some of the jokes from this movie.
There were a lot of references.
And I knew who was in the original, so I knew those cute
when
nods.
When they showed up as cameos.
Yeah, but there was some stuff I was like,
I'm kind of confused.
Fire Engine House? What's this?
Because I don't... I don't want to out you, you know? But you're a child of the 80s. How did you not see Ghostbusters?
Mid-80s, and...
You were a child in the 80s?
Oh, well, you know why? Because I grew up in a conservative home.
Okay, you couldn't watch that...
Is all
that demonic movie with the
ghosts. Well, it was like ghosts, and my parents were really sensitive.
Her family
about
didn't
that.
Believe in ghosts or busting.
I don't know why. It seems like a movie my dad would really be into, because he loves Bill Murray. And my mom, too. They love Bill Murray.
Bill Murray is very Bill Murray in it.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what was happening in my life, except that my parents were just uber conservative.
Well, I regret that you haven't seen Ghostbusters. Lucky for you, you still have time to remedy that. But you do offer an interesting vantage point for this sake of this episode, in that you're seeing it completely detached of the source material, so you have no...
You're the next generation of Ghostbuster fan, apparently.
I don't like when you lump me in with them, because they seem
total
shallow
like
and terrible.
High school, quasi-millennial Ghostbusters fan.
No.
Yeah, totally.
What is the cutoff for millennials?
Don't make me that.
It seems to be...
It's so ambiguous.
I think we're millennials.
Are we technically?
Yeah, technically.
I thought we were Generation X.
I think you might be X, but
isn't it early
80s? Tyler is a millennial.
I think I'm a millennial.
Well,
but Bethany, too, I am too.
Bethany's like acting like a full-on millennial by only seeing
I wasn't
new
so stupid at the theater. I at least knew who Bill Murray was. I guarantee those That's dumb good. Little millennial babies were like.
Can you name any of the other cameos?
Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
I don't know his name, but the guy at the end who was the uncle, but he was actually in the original one.
Ernie Hudson.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so Dan, Bill, someone else was in it.
Two of the cameos they played so gratuitously.
Yeah, with the receptionist.
Yeah, Janine's cameo.
She was the girl.
My wife, Sarah, who's been on the podcast, she actually hasn't seen the originals either, or at least has no memory of them. And so when she was watching these movies and the crowd would start laughing about someone walking on screen, I'd have to lean over and go, oh, that was the receptionist from the first one. Oh, that's a statue bust of Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
And to be clear, we were all at the movie together, Tyler, Sarah, and I. And Bethany's so I never right heard.
Yeah.
I never heard who these people were, but Sarah got it, I guess. Yeah.
And I had to say, that's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know what role she played, though, but I knew it was her.
Like, I thought she died in Avatar.
Yeah. She made me tired.
Sigourney Weaver was one of the first clients of the Ghostbusters.
Wow. I thought that it was just so cute. The whole thing was so cute.
Well, let's do this then. Before we get further into dissection, let's do the small truncated review of the movie and then open it up from there. Because I haven't talked to either of you about what you thought about it. I saw it by myself on Saturday night. I haven't had anyone to debrief with just yet. So, Tyler, how did you feel about Ghostbusters Answer the Call?
Is that the official subtitle?
Because at the last minute, they rebranded the movie.
Yeah. That final title screen said Answer the Call, and I was confused.
To distinguish it from the original.
Instead of Ghostbusters, parentheses, 2016.
Right, which is ridiculous. Remember, we complained about it on the show. We're like, we're going to always have to add in a subtitle.
Yeah.
They did it.
The new one, the girl one.
Do you think that they heard that episode and they heard me complain?
And so they named it Answer the Call?
I said they should just say Ghostbusters colon something something.
Yeah.
They did.
They did. And they, yeah.
What did you think about Ghostbusters Answer the Call?
I don't know, man.
I remember.
I feel very conflicted about it.
Come on.
I wanted to like it. But they didn't give me any good reasons to like it.
I think that's what he said verbatim at the theater. I was like, oh my gosh. And he's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
When it ended, I went, oh, that was something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything bad about it, but I have things bad to say about it.
Okay.
So, thus the conflict.
Yeah. Why won't you say anything conflict bad about it?
Well, we're going to hear more about that, I'm sure.
I like the movie makers. I like the actresses. I like the franchise. It just...
You got a lot of reasons to like it, is what you're saying.
I feel like it was flat. It was real flat. I feel like some of it just didn't feel natural and organic. I just felt like I was watching these four women act the whole time. Act like Ghostbusters.
Hmm.
When they weren't. They didn't become the Ghostbusters, you know? I feel like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, they were Ghostbusters. And these girls were like, yeah, we can pretend to be Ghostbusters.
I may be able to go there with you.
You have no idea
what
Bill Murray and
Dan
Aykroyd and Harold Ramis
like
are as Ghostbusters.
I know what it feels like for people to act like a thing and not be a thing.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair. What was your take on the movie?
If I were to give it a tweet out or something, mm-hmm, I would say, and I think I said this to you and Sarah, it felt like I just rode a ride at Universal. And
she
I felt really satisfied.
So I don't understand it.
You know, like if you ride like E.T., or let's say Back to the Future.
I've never done any of those rides. You guys talk about these rides at these parks, and I've never been on a ride at a park. I've never been on a movie-themed ride.
Oh, you would love it. You would love it.
I've been to the Indiana Jones live show at Disneyland.
Okay. It's a little bit more of
a
stretch.
Is that Disneyland?
The MGM Studios? I don't know.
The one in California.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've seen that.
We're from the other side.
But I haven't been on.
Bethany.
Well, one day we'll take you. But anyway, it felt like that. It felt like a T3, or it felt like the whole time I was like, this is so fun. This is so fun. This is so fun. And then when it ended, I was like, ah. And I thought some stuff was a little bit Bobo. Like, I was like, okay. But I thought, for the most part, it was such a fun movie to see. I was laughing a lot. There was some great, and I saw it twice. So there are just some lines I picked up the second time that I didn't get the first time that were really funny. I had a great time. I just had a great time.
All right.
The crowd that we saw it with
were great.
They were rolling with laughter.
Clapping. Really? Clapping.
But they were like cheap laughs. They were being very generous, I thought.
They were being very generous?
They were being very generous.
I think they were drunk, maybe.
And they were clapping. Like they were clapping when they saw Bill Murray.
We were at the Baghdad.
It was like 7 p.m. on the Thursday, so the day before opening. So people were excited to be there.
Yeah.
They were taking photos of them wearing their Ghostbuster shirts, standing in front of the big marquee that said Ghostbusters.
Okay, fans.
It was big fans. Fun. The energy.
So
was
they were excited
good.
To be there, and I was too. But I think they were being a little too generous with their laughter.
I didn't think that. What did you think, Joshua?
I'm a mix of both of you guys. Aww. Isn't that funny?
You're like a love child.
Yeah. I'm y'all's love child.
Our love child?
Our movie love child.
I'm specifically you too.
Okay, our movie love child. Of time. Whatever.
I don't know how I feel about
okay,
this.
Okay, forget it.
I'm conflicted
it's
about
nothing.
This too.
Okay, it's nothing.
My experience was kind of like being a big fan of the original for a long time and being, like Tyler, a big fan of these actresses and this director. I had every reason to like it, so I didn't go in with any kind of prejudice. I'm not afraid of a reboot. I ain't afraid of no boot. And honestly, for the first two acts of the movie, I laughed a ton. I actually laughed out loud at a few scenes. There were some that I felt were kind of stale or contrived. By the time it got to the third act of the movie, I was still in it because of all that we'd been through up to that point. But it totally devolved into, like, I just imagine a bunch of studio executives telling Paul Feig, and then have them, like, kung fu fight the ghosts. And then what if there was, like, some dubstep blasting while they punched a ghost? And then have some totally BA scenes where they do a flip. It was just like...
But did... So the original wasn't like that then? Because I had nothing to compare that to. I was like, this is a little bit dumb, and it's a little bit outlandish. No. But I was thinking, I don't know what the original is, so I don't know what the audience is used to.
The originals managed to capture that comedy really effortlessly. They kind of moved at their own pace, and they let jokes kind of rest, and there's a lot more subtleties to the original movies. The comedy felt a lot more natural to the actors.
Yeah.
And in this one, that's exactly it. It felt dumb.
Contrived a little bit.
It felt like the studio executives were standing right there behind the camera telling them, now what if you shouted, oh, that's going to leave a mark? People loved it when Chris Farley said that.
Yeah.
And I honestly, when I say that I felt like they were acting, it's probably because they were being controlled so much.
I did get this sense, not through the whole movie, but there were several moments, and some with specificity, where I felt like, they've got them on some reins. They're not letting them stretch their wings and be as funny as they can really be. Because some of the moments where that felt a bit more of that, like, bridesmaids chemistry, where they were letting them, felt ad-libbed, or it felt like Kristen Wiig was doing some of her, like, trademark stuff. They were hilarious to me. I laughed really hard.
Yeah, and Melissa, too.
In Bridesmaids, they became the bridesmaids. They were just doing their thing in front of the camera.
Yeah, it felt like they were totally... like let loose to be
themselves, and they probably felt more comfortable. It was a lot more natural.
Yeah, and the stakes are just really different with a movie like this. It's like a huge franchise, and the studio's invested so much money into try to tentpole this stupid thing. There's going to be a girl Ghostbusters universe and a guy Ghostbusters universe, and there's going to be an animated Ghostbusters movie, and they're all going to be franchised, and they might all meet up together at some point. Because that's the way you do movies nowadays in the big business. So obviously, the studio is going to come in and be like, we need a pop star to sing a song. We need there to be a scene
so
where
they got Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
They got the wrong executives.
Well, obviously, they don't know their own butt from a door. So, but even though there was some of that going on that made me go, oh, man, this feels like such a waste of time. I left the movie feeling like I enjoyed it. I left feeling like a lot of it was disposable, and some of it was stupid.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked it. I enjoyed it. Felt like it was worthwhile. The beats that were really funny were really funny. Some of the comedy, when it felt like those actresses were allowed to do their thing, felt very Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah. And I honestly was surprised. I laughed, I think, most at Hemsworth's comedy.
He was great.
When he started rubbing his eye through the frame of his lens, of his glasses.
I couldn't believe how far they took his hyperbolic stupidity. Yeah. They had him like hitting his hand against an aquarium trying to answer a phone.
Yeah.
I thought he did a great job, too.
Yeah, it was funny.
He was believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our friend Josiah, who's also been on the episode, always rolls his eyes at the thought of Melissa McCarthy being in a comedy because he expects her to fall down and fart at any time.
Yeah. And it was a fart joke.
He asked us, you know, did she fall down and fart? And I said, well, no, not together. She did fall down, and there was a fart joke.
And it was implied it could have been her.
Yeah. But when that even that fart joke, they had to lean in for the listening to the sounds of a ghost, and it was a fart. And I thought, what?
Yeah, that one was early
and
on.
Then they
too.
Made
that,
that weird joke about not knowing which side it came out of, and I thought, oh my god, what are we doing?
That won me back because I thought, whoa, are we going to be that obscene in this? Because it was so subtle and fast.
Yeah, but even that, it's like. That kind of comedy is fine, but it felt weird. Like the setup didn't seem right. It almost looked like they said, okay, girls, you're gonna give this joke. And they read it on a piece of paper. And then they said, okay, well, call action.
Yeah, a lot of it landed that way. A lot of it felt like... It felt like the movie was drifting back and forth between Paul Feig making it his own thing and not being shackled to the studio or to the expectations of the original. And then every now and then just completely stumbling into, like, crippled by expectations of the original and studio expectations.
Yeah, that seems to be the case with so many of these franchise reboots or remakes, whatever you want to call it.
Which is a bummer, because when I came home, someone asked me, like, what'd you think? And I said, it was good. It felt like a good movie with a great movie struggling to get out of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's fair. And there was a lot of like acknowledgement of the original movies, which I appreciated. Even the graffiti artists spray painting the logo on the wall when they're looking for logos because of all the bad logos that Hemsworth.
That was a hilarious scene. Yeah. It was implied that a ghost was holding the hot dog. I laughed. I laughed out loud.
Yeah. And she said, I didn't know you'd be so cerebral. Okay.
I can even tell, even though I hadn't seen the original, I'm like, I think I could tell that it was that, the control piece where I'm like, sometimes they're just pushing really hard.
Yeah, you could tell, like, they forced
weird.
It in.
Yeah, know? And I felt like the actresses were, you could tell, I mean, they're so good at ad-lib, Melissa in particular, and Kristen. It's like,
yeah.
And the other two are great. They're on SNL. They're so great, and they're so funny. But I was like, sometimes I was like, just let them do it. Let them just...
Yeah.
Evolve a little bit more. And even though I had not seen the original, I was like, ugh, we're just like, it's like start and stop. I just feel like we were kind of doing that a little bit.
Yeah, it did have it did suffer from pacing issues. And then the thing about I wanted to get into that third act where they went crazy Ghostbusters on everything. And I think maybe this could just be my subconscious affection for the original, aside from how dumb some of it got. But in the original, there's not really any huge action sequences with the Ghostbusters. I mean, they shoot their proton packs and things, but they don't do any big moves. They don't test cool equipment where they throw grenades and...
Yeah.
They're like truckers, you know?
Right. I thought that was actually a really cool expansion of the universe. All the inventions that Kate McKinnon's character kept coming up with.
She was funny.
Although I do feel like on occasion, her spirit as an inventor was kind of forced into a lot of the scenes. But in that final action scene when they're using all of them, I thought that was a lot of fun.
Really?
Especially like the punching one and the...
even when Holtzman like took out the pistols and starts licked them and started doing flips and like lassoing all
sure.
the ghosts.
I said, yeah, let them get crazy. I'm okay with that.
I was just like, what are we doing? Because all the proton guns do are move the ghosts.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense for them to get into a fight where all they're doing is just shoot it.
That's what I thought they'd
lasso them and then throw them.
I'm
but like, then they can't die either. I was confused by that. I'm like, yeah. like you killed a pilgrim. I'm like,
they had that one that shreds ghosts. I'm like, well, yeah. use that one some more.
I thought that the grenades actually made them disappear.
It sort of seemed like it did.
It vaporized them or something.
Did we just miss that in the?
Because they said the grenades will detonate and it won't hurt a human, but it'll.
Clearly that ghost. Shredder did something to that giant devil.
And she said the pilgrim died with their lassoing tactics.
Yeah,
so that didn't make I was sense. Confused too, but I thought maybe this is a part of the Ghostbusters thing. I don't know.
You know what was worse than Fallout Boy? Now that you mentioned that flying dragon ghost, was that god awful metal band in that bizarre theater.
I made a note to talk about this scene with you guys. That scene played to me as a set piece. It played like, hey, where can we have them go that will be sort of like the hotel sequence in the original Ghostbusters?
They got that snooty.
Yeah, exactly. Who did the yell gag? That was funny. I laughed at that.
Stage manager, yeah.
And then they said, well, what could it be at? And then somebody's grandma was on set and said, well, the kids like this heavy metal thing that's going on right now.
I think it probably was one of the producers, or not even the producer, one of the executives who said, aren't there like a lot of like demons associated with metal music?
It was
I think that's more accurate.
It was the depiction of a heavy metal concert by way of somebody's grandma.
And they thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a giant demon ghost on stage at a rock concert?
So truthfully, I didn't know if it was a real band. I was like, is this some real band?
It was some fake something.
It was
or
awful.
Another.
It was just excruciating listening to it.
It was miserable.
They were opening up for Ozzy though.
Yeah,
right?
And then he had a cameo that made no sense whatsoever.
I didn't know if it was a real guy or not.
With his really terrible delivery of that joke.
Yeah. Why was that joke in there? That's
an executive thought of it. And the executive said, can we get them crowd surfing? People love crowd surfing. Can we have that joke where one of them gets caught and the other one doesn't?
See, that stuff. That was all, that's going to leave a Mark level crap right there. Yeah. But then some of it, they managed to get a laugh out. I thought Leslie Jones was so funny in this movie, to me personally, when even that scene when they're like, please do not have them crowd surf, and then please do not have one of them fall, and then she had that bit where she's like, all right, I don't know if this is a race thing or a woman thing. I was like, that's funny. She managed to get a laugh
out of
it.
That was her being herself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I laughed a lot when she was following that guy into the tunnel.
Yeah.
and she was just being herself. It was great.
When she... I laughed, so I was the only person in the theater that was laughing either. I was in a reasonable sized crowd, but they weren't having a good time and they clearly didn't understand the cameos or anything. I was just like kind of thinking, hey, neat, when Bill Murray came on screen for the first time and there was just nothing. I thought they'd at least be murmuring or something. But
oh, they were applauding in our theater.
Yeah. We had nothing. When that ghost got trapped on the subway and he's like, she said, someone's going to Queens. He's going to be the third scariest person on that train. It's like, that was great. And it kind of had the delivery happened off screen. It was so funny. And the way they kept finding ways for Kristen Wiig's character to be the only one who got slimed.
Right.
Yeah. That stuff was all.
Was she the Dan Aykroyd? I kept trying to figure out if they created types to match the originals.
Yeah.
Original cast, but it didn't seem like it.
Not really. other than the obvious, you have like some kind of civilian person that's not a scientist that comes in at the last second and just wants a job.
Right.
Yeah, the same as
had to be a
Winston
black
became
person.
Patty. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then the secretary that's not qualified for their job, they really amped that thing up.
Yeah, they did.
But I loved her cameo in the Annie Potts when she showed up as Janine and did the same. I mean, it was some of that they were clearly harping on our nostalgia to have her say like, "What do you want?"
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was neat to see that. I did not understand Bill. I couldn't get my head around Bill Murray's cameo.
He was somebody who. He identified hoaxes?
Yeah, I got that. But it just seemed like...
He showed up.
He was just there.
Looking for proof. and because then they killed him.
Yeah. I kind of
just thought it was funny.
I thought that everyone else's cameos would be a lot more like Dan Aykroyd's, where they'd have him show up for no reason. We'd all go like, wow. Then they'd say some kind of funny referential thing.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Yeah, and then drive away, and they'd be like, that was funny. But Bill Murray's guy was kind of integrated into the movie for a second, story-wise, and then he was killed.
They're just trying to build it
up. He didn't actually get any punchlines himself.
No. I think it was one of those things on paper. It's thought, well, what, how can we get all these people in the movie, give them all cameos? And they thought, wouldn't it be funny if like one of them was just like a skeptic, didn't believe in ghosts, and gave the girls a hard time? Yeah, let's make Bill Murray do that. That'd be funny.
They had him I thought that was the extent of it. And then he showed back up at the Chinese.
Yeah.
The way that they had them move from the firehouse to the Chinese restaurant, I thought was great. The psych out they right. did where they said the...
Was the firehouse where the Ghostbusters originally were?
Yeah. Right. And when they're playing the scene exactly like it plays out in the original, where one of them is concerned about the money and the others are all ready, like,
loving it, yeah.
putting where their stuff's going to go. And as soon as she hears the price, she goes, Rotten Hill?
It's Burning Hill.
Burning Hill. That was so funny. Who responds immediately to that? Yeah. And some of the like more almost like Muppety Simpsons gags where they're like, what? He's been dead for 50 years. Yeah. And it's like, well, who's that?
That's his son. Was funny.
That was great.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard at that stuff.
Sounds like you enjoyed it to me.
There were some good laughs.
Tyler's laughing, remember.
Tyler's laughing again.
I was just so annoyed, though, with that opening that was left open-ended. And he's hanging from the door jamb where the stairs collapse, trying to get out of that basement. And there's ooze coming out of the ground. And then it just cuts to him on the street. And they go, well, how'd he get out?
Well, I know. I was curious about that,
Why
too.
Why is he... Is he possessed? What? No, I guess we're just moving on. Okay.
And she was a confusing ghost to me because I'm like, what's her deal?
And she just got angry and killed a bunch of people. And now
she didn't. Yeah, but now she's not killing anybody. She's just floating around.
She was the equivalent of the librarian. You know, they use the exact same description to describe her, about like a torso apparition or.
As the librarian. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
Considering the storyline for this new film, where you have somebody who is trying to summon ghosts and eventually become a ghost himself so he can open up this dimension between worlds, I thought it was okay.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
But what was with the devices he was using?
I know, he built them. He was using their technology and their theory to build devices.
And he was placing them on that, whatever that map was.
Mm-hmm.
The X. I thought all of that. Okay,
that was fun.
This is an interesting storyline. You've got a clear antagonist who's summoning all these crazy creatures that you're going to cause conflict. I thought, okay, the storyline's not terrible. It's good.
Yeah, on paper it was all very Ghostbusters-y for it to be some kind of like ancient evil and that it was like dormant in the city and somebody was stirring it up.
Right.
But the character of Roland, who was the
Rowan,
the villain who was
Bethy,
you know,
saw it twice.
thanks for your expertise and memory. Save us from embarrassing ourselves and having to leave comments on the episode.
You don't want people doing that.
Yeah.
Rowan, he was like a nerd that had to like open up the gates of hell because someone said something mean to him or something. He seemed terrifically underdeveloped and like a waste to me. And maybe it's because in Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2, you have a sort of vehicle for this otherworldly villain, and the vehicle becomes a comic thing. So Rick Moranis' character becomes Zool, or becomes Vince Clortho.
He was the Keymaster.
Yeah, and Dana becomes Zool. There is no Dana, only Zool. But and he's hilarious. But it's like this.
Wasn't Zool the Bowie character?
No, that's Gozer.
Gozer, okay.
Right. Then they're her henchmen.
So
the
Zool
dogs.
Was the gatekeeper?
Yeah. She became Zool, who he became Vince Clortho. But really Gozer is this like larger than life ancient evil, and it doesn't really matter, blah blah blah. And then in Ghostbusters 2, you get that hilarious guy from Ally McBeal that was working for this painting.
He was great.
But in this one, it's like, oh, okay, it's a dude, and it's not like he's working for some ancient Babylonian god.
He's tired of being bullied.
He just got bullied, so he's like made these machines.
Well, I was wondering if it was some weird, like, that was the one thing I was like, we got an agenda here. We're just trying to make all the bully kids feel better.
That's kind of weird.
We didn't get quite enough about his motivation.
But they were all bullied. They were like, we've been bullied too, but we chose the right thing.
Yeah,
and
we're all ghost girls now.
Yeah, like we're all, the whole premise, I was like, are we doing an anti-bullying campaign? Because that's what it felt like, where I was like, don't do that. I mean, just stick to the movie.
Don't bully, or they
don't bully people.
Kill themselves. And
or they might open up all the dead.
No, I just like, I'm like, you don't have to put your agenda in every movie. Like,
I think they were reaching for some kind of deeper something for the characters, but I didn't know that it was necessary. I must confess, like, even though it was obviously desperately trying to create a parallel between Gozer and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, when he became the logo, I actually thought that was kind of clever and cool.
Yeah, he became a giant white
but scary
monster that was somewhat soft and threatening.
It was totally, and then, I mean, if that wasn't enough for you, Stay Puft actually shows up in this movie.
But I don't know how I feel about the way he showed up, because all I could see was the writers or even executives forcing the Stay Puft Marshmallow
He felt
Man.
Forced. Because you know he felt even more forced.
The only way we can get the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is by bringing in a bunch of parade balloons.
An evil balloon.
Ghost balloons. I was like,
so he said, we'll get a bunch of balloons and then the Stay Puft will be there. Why would there be balloons?
It's probably obvious now because I keep bringing it up, but the whole sequence of them fighting the ghosts out in the open in New York City was the most challenging for me, because, and this is where my the nostalgia thing comes in, but in Ghostbusters, in both movies, you've got these great sequences where the monsters all come out into New York, and they're really creatively designed, and I know it's like, oh, wow, it's puppets and green screens instead of CG. That's fine. I'm not mad about the CG. But these designs felt so lazy. It felt like it didn't make any real sense. It's like if it was just going to be in the original Ghostbusters, it's just a spectrum of crazy. So there's just like giant monsters and there's like corpses and there's weird little things. You had floaty ghosties.
They're all floaty.
Rats and balloons. What was with the rats? I was thinking, oh, okay, we're going to branch out and get something other than just the floating green guys, but... Why in the world?
The dragon thing.
The dragon thing. What was that?
Listen, I didn't know what universe we're in.
The dragon thing was just to match the terrible metal band.
I guess.
I thought the rats were weird, and I'm
having a hard time remembering the rats.
She was
just
like
one
at
shot.
The subway, and
yeah,
the
all these
like,
green ghost rats ran up out of the subway.
It was so weird.
Yeah. Okay.
It was just like, but I didn't know. I don't know what the Ghostbusters universe looks like. I knew that that one chubby one who was eating the hamburger or the hot dog.
Slimer.
I knew that was an irregular.
That was
one.
What I was saying back there. That was the
forcing
most forced
Slimer in.
Slimer.
Yeah.
And then
Slimer looks so Slimer's stupid lady. As a CG thing. And he made all this noise. And then he had a girl with she looked like Mrs. Pac-Man. She had like a bow.
And they were going for a joyride.
What was that? Why have that in there?
Yeah. I don't know. But
he was like,
I'm actually surprised. I enjoyed that final fight scene when they're using all their inventions to fight these ghosts. And seeing the villain turn into the giant logo. Okay. I get what you're doing. That'll work. But the solution to everything, that they find this vortex and they think, oh, if we reverse the polarity, then everything will get sucked back in. And they said, what can we use to do that? And Slimer happens to drive around the corner.
Of course.
And not only that, but he actually just drives right into the hole. Comes around the corner and just drives right in.
They shot
created
things
a path
to
for
create
him.
A path.
And then he just hit the perfect... crooked slab of concrete and flew perfectly in the hole.
That's where it feels like a ride, because it was tied up so perfectly. I was like, we have a time mark to hit.
They're all hitting their cues perfectly.
Yeah, that's how.
And that's when it became a summer popcorn movie.
Yeah, and then Melissa McCarthy gets pulled in by the giant logo. Oh,
that was weird.
And Kristen Wiig is looking around for how do I save her, and there just happens to be a carabiner and a steel cable.
That's where it felt like a ride.
We were
just trying to get
as an audience. We weren't even given the respect of being shown what that thing was attached to.
Nope. It just happened to be there, laying there perfectly waiting for.
I was thinking, well, it's quite foolish of her character, Abby or whatever her name was, that she's now falling to her death, because we didn't see that was attached to anything. It just is a loose wire. It could have been 3 feet long.
Well, and how are you going to, when are you going into, what vortex are you going into? And that little chain is keeping you straight. I mean, it's that long.
And it didn't break their backs in half.
Right.
And when they came out, their hair was white, but.
What was that? Was that a
That was just them trying to. No. There's nothing. There's no reference to Ghostbusters in that. They were just trying to make some extra element.
I thought it was weird. I was like, I don't understand why your hair's.
The Slimer thing, I was appreciative of these little. It's like a fine line, you know, when you're doing something like this when you're remaking such a beloved movie, because the reversing the polarity with the nuclear reactor on the car was obviously crossing the streams. They described it the exact same way, total atomic reversal. And I'm thinking that's fun, you know, that's a nod for us, the fans, to recognize, and without it feeling so gratuitous. Stay Puft felt like there's no reason for him to be here. Like, it'd be just have the bag of marshmallows in the office, you know, if that's what you want to do for an Easter egg, that's fine with me. Slimer and a girl Slimer. This made no sense.
Can one of you explain to me what the slime is in relation to a ghost?
It's ectoplasm.
Yeah. But
it's supposed to be a real thing?
There's nothing. There's no significance to it. It's just gross and funny.
Okay. Yeah. So they just made it up.
Well, you know, in the study of the paranormal, there is an occurring phenomenon called ectoplasm. It is like a slimy residue.
Oh.
And in the only slime in Ghostbusters is from Slimer. He flies through Bill Murray's character, Peter Venkman, and when they find him in the hallway, he's covered in slime, and he says, "He slimed me."
And then the second one, it's this pink goo. So they just find ways to make it slimy.
It's like a
and
fun gross out fest.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I just was like, what is the reason?
What is with the slime?
I mean, I'm trying
I
to
feel
keep
like
up.
The slime is.
It looks like
out
Nickelodeon.
For me personally.
I know.
Yeah, it is. It's Nickelodeon y. Yeah. But of course, Nickelodeon came after Ghostbusters.
Of course.
Of course. Well, of course.
But it's a similar concept, yeah. It's funny to get
I think
slime.
It's nice. Yeah, I thought it was like, that's what I said. Like, they tied it up nicely. It just was this is like, you're getting the full experience. You go full circle. It has to be wrapped up in 10 minutes. So,
yeah.
We found the missing thing.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a popcorn movie when it started, at least not totally. It felt like it was on its way to something a little bit better with a few missteps. By the end, it was like, oh, yeah, okay. Full-on popcorn cotton candy movie.
And then they went into a dance number with Hemsworth.
That had to be that was meant to be in the movie, and they didn't have time for it.
Right.
So they
Because the ghost made them all pose that way?
Yeah. Because you're thinking, tell me you guys both didn't think he's about to do a dance number with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't pose them like they're about to start Thriller and then just leave them there.
And then leave them. Yeah,
it felt frozen. Unresolved.
Yeah.
But I liked when Leslie Jones, is that who it is? She goes, why y'all like this?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, why y'all like that? That was the best, one of the best lines of the whole movie to me. Why y'all like this? She's just walking through and everyone's in their pose.
I had a hard time watching that dance number, though, the ending credits.
That's
so
the
bad.
Credits themselves were just like, can y'all get three different guys that are so bored and desperate to show what they can do with After Effects to just throw up all over the credits? Because first it was a dance sequence, and then it just started replaying scenes from the movie with like more ghosts flying around and even worse music.
Bumping into the credits.
Yeah, knocking the credits askew as it went. I was confused.
It looked so ugly. Right. It looked so ugly.
Yeah, I don't even know how to tell, but I could tell. I thought, this looks Bobo.
And
what
I don't usually...
happening?
Talk about ending credits that often, but I sat through them just to get to that stinger.
Yeah,
and I'm upset that I was forced to watch that dance number.
They made you earn it, man.
Hemsworth doing all these dumb dance moves.
The stinger to me felt like another forced thing for them to go like, "What's Zool?" And then they all kind of went, "Oh, I don't know." Like, okay, cool.
We know what Zool is.
We know what Zool is, right?
I didn't until Tyler told me.
Zool. It's from the first movie.
Zool.
I think it's nice. I think it's fun. We all had a good time. It was nice. And I think people...
It was nice.
It's not a classic, but it's like, if you're going to do a remake, give him a little bit more liberty next time.
Kate McKinnon was great. She
Kate
stole the show.
Great. She stole the show.
Let's talk about her for a second.
She's weird, but
I love Kate McKinnon. She's probably the funniest performer on Saturday Night Live at the moment.
Yeah.
And I loved what she was doing with this Holtzman character. There were moments where I felt like it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it would sometimes she would push it and the humor would hit that too much line and then keep going and become funny again.
Right.
You know, like
right.
It was yeah. hyperbolically funny.
Yeah.
And then other times it was like she's just over there like chewing on her lips and acting like a weird.
It's almost like the executives from behind the camera said, Kate, give us some energy.
Give us some more.
Give us a little more.
Like parents on the sidelines of a beauty pageant.
yeah. Like they're all standing there on set and they're bored and they're kind of looking around waiting for someone to call action. And then the executive comes in and says, Kate, you ready? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm here. What? Could you give us a little something? Oh, sure. What do you want? Something like this? And I'm like, yeah, that's great.
It was like her Ellen DeGeneres on Saturday Night Live just amped up to the max.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. I felt like sometimes I was like, don't go there right now. You don't have to go there. You've been funny this whole movie. Just
yes.
Don't push it.
They were all funny when they were, you could just, it was no question that they were perfectly casted. And then every now and then it seemed to me that there was no question that their talents were being squandered by lazy writing or contrived scenarios or making them say something that was below their comedic abilities.
I wonder if they felt that. I almost saw Kate break a few times. So there were a few times I could see her go with like a funny smile and they could chalk that up to quirky, but I think she was about to laugh or to break.
Yeah. I wonder if they were having fun making the movie.
Yeah. I wondered the same thing. Some of it was like, yeah, it's just like, do we really keep going back to it? But okay, I just saw Melissa McCarthy get like supernatural brass knuckles and punch a ghost in the face, and I saw Kristen Wiig do a flip and blast a ghost in the face. But would audiences and rather see them be funny, and would they rather as were they thinking like this is cool? We get to like stretch our wings and do something different, and it's exciting. Or were they thinking like this kind of feels weird? Shouldn't we just stick with being funny? I mean, isn't that what Ghostbusters is about?
Right.
I don't like, do you want to see Bill Murray do cartwheels and hit a ghost in the face with brass knuckles while Fallout Boy plays? Or would you rather him like do some dry delivery and crack you up?
I think they were restricted and I think it was a bummer for them. And I think they had very few moments where they were free to be really funny. Yeah. And I think it sucked. I mean, I think that part sucked. Not the movie. Just it sucked for them because you could see they were like,
They would have been funny.
I mean, Melissa and Kristen,
it was work. They were working up there.
Yeah, and I felt like they had to be restrained. Even Kristen, I was like, there are parts where I'm like, you would be really funny with the, even when she was dancing with Chris Hemsworth and she was following him out of the room. I was like, that's her. Yeah. But she had like,
that's like one of the takes where she was just having fun and they ended up using the shot.
Yeah. And I was like, you know.
It started so promising when they had her revealed as teaching to a room of nobody and then start dancing and discovering
shaking
that guy
her butt
was standing behind her.
Dean,
yeah, that was great. And then they had that was where the writing felt like Paul Feig and it felt really funny where he was saying, she's like, oh, that book's just a gag. And he's like, a 300 page gag? She's like, yeah. It's like, the first line is, this is not a joke. And the way the way that the scene of them just losing their minds over having made contact with this ghost immediately cut into a YouTube video that was being viewed by the dean of the school that she worked at of her yelling, I believe in ghosts. I believe in ghosts. That was hilarious. I was thinking, this is great. This is going to be so great. So I was a little let down, but there was enough of that to keep it going. What I'm wondering now is what's going to happen with the rest of this franchise.
Because
it seems obvious that everyone's surprised.
People aren't enthused. Are people enthused?
I think they are. I think that's what, didn't they expect it to be like mediocre, but it's been
I think people
a big hit.
Generally feel like it's better than they thought it would be.
Yeah.
I remember watching the trailer and thinking, that was okay. And I feel about the same now after watching the movie than I do feel watching the trailer.
Oh, I didn't have that experience at all. I watched that trailer and was like, that is the stupidest, most unfunny trailer I've ever seen. That That thing could not be less funny. It's like they purposefully tried to make it unfunny, and I left the movie thinking that was funny. I laughed a bunch.
Yeah, I knew. I knew you'd feel that way. I wanted to see it from the get-go because I knew the actresses who were going to be in it.
Well, yeah, we said all along, and yeah. Tyler, I guess, proved himself wrong, but he just kept saying, well, there's no way these guys didn't make a funny movie. They're all too talented to not make a funny movie.
But I think you all had low expectations. I think yours were exceeded.
Mine were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went in just hoping that I would laugh and be entertained, and I was both of those things. I think the only reason that I'm nitpicking it to the degree that I am is because I saw a lot of potential in the movie itself, not even implied potential, but like the movie had these like glimpses of greatness, sometimes sustained glimpses of greatness, like that is so good, so funny. I would love more and more Ghostbusters movies made out of that, mm-hmm. and then it would kind of devolve into silly popcorn studio movie. Yeah.
Maybe they'll get a little bit more authority on the next one.
Maybe. It's so hard to tell, like what are they thinking? Where are they going to take it from? Obviously, they've set it up
Zool.
Desperately for a sequel.
Which is great. I think people will see it. I think it's entertaining. What about you,
Tyler? You'll see it if we do a podcast on it, but how will you feel in your heart?
I'll go see another one. They've got my loyalty, these ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Such a feminist.
So I'll see it.
Well, yeah.
You know, okay, well... Then to end, you know, we haven't really said much other than passing comments about the frat boy controversy, about the just extravagant amount of morons that were so deeply offended that women would possibly be cast in a Ghostbusters movie. My hope is that one day we can talk about this movie without having to even mention this stupid
right.
thing that's going on with, I think they gave it a name now. People are calling it Brobusters.
Bro Busters?
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, some subset of subterranean, subhuman group of people banded together to hate on a movie that no one had seen yet. And now it just seems like, now the movie's out, people can see it for what it is, and they can pass judgment. That sounds like a little too extreme, but they can critique it for what it is as a movie. So you have, overall, the movie's faring well. It has a higher score on Rotten Tomatoes than I expected. Was 73 or something like that.
Yeah.
And the people that are liking it, a lot of them are acknowledging, has some weak points, stalls out at the end, overall funny movie, and other people don't like it. Maybe some people think it was fantastic, but they're not having to say like, girls can be Ghostbusters.
They called them out too. It was funny when they read the YouTube
that
comments.
That was great.
I thought that was smart humor on their part.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, what was the comment they made?
No witch is going to be busting no ghosts. And they're like, what? No, not that one.
Yeah, that was
funny.
I just
think it's funny that they mocked him. I'm like, good for you.
They shot the antagonist in the balls.
They chose one of the least articulated comments. Least intelligent comment.
Yeah, that's probably pretty indicative of the gist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bethany... Forgive me for bringing this around to you, but you know, you're a girl. It's 2016. You didn't grow up with the original Ghostbusters, so now you're seeing this one as a girl. Were you thinking, man, I could be a Ghostbuster? You know?
Yeah.
Were you thinking like me in the late 80s, like I'm gonna be a Ghostbuster, and how you're gonna design your proton pack and all that stuff at home?
Uh-huh. I think I would have thought that even if I just saw the original. I would have thought to myself, I could be a Ghostbuster if I wanted to be.
Yeah, but you didn't. You saw this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't even think about the feminist agenda thing or men being mad about it. I didn't even think about that when I was seeing the movie. So it didn't even... I just...
Be that as it may. You're a girl. These are girls.
Are
you ready?
Yeah, of course I could do all of that. 100%. I would be doing it.
Who did you identify with most?
Which one were you? Who's your favorite Ghostbuster?
I think either Melissa or Kate.
Why don't we call them by their names? Did anyone remember that? You saw it twice. Tell me what their names are.
They're weird names.
And
yeah.
Holtzman.
It was Abby Yates, Aaron Gilbert, Jillian Holtzman, and Patty Tolan.
But Holtzman went by Holtzman.
Yeah. It was Abby, Aaron, Holtzman, and Patty?
Yeah. Because Patty said, the power of Patty compels you. Remember that?
That was great.
The blood. That's happened.
Classic Leslie Jones yelling at you.
She's funny. Her hair kept changing, and that bothered me, if I'm being totally frank.
Ooh, continuity errors, huh? I didn't even notice.
Tons of continuity errors with her hair. Oh, my gosh.
Leslie, get it together.
I was like, where are the who are the people who are getting paid to do this crap? Because I'm finding the problem right now, and I'm not even getting paid for it. And I'm not even a studio executive.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Thanks for listening to You Hate Movies. Hey, what did you think about Ghostbusters 2016 or Ghostbusters Answer the Call or the Ghostbusters remake, whatever it is that you're calling it personally? What was your personal take on the thing? Please let us know by going to youhatemovies.com and leaving a comment on this episode. While you're there, you might as well subscribe to the podcast because there's well over 60 episodes for you to enjoy. And you can also bother us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at You Hate Movies. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.